Now, if he was Hispanic, I'd take me a good time. I'd have me a good time. Then you'd want me to stop somehow or another. But since it's in English, well, I forcefully have to just cut down on myself. Before I say something, I might just not supposed to say. No, but it's just good to be here. It's like coming back home in this time of the year. And I'm glad to see every one of you tonight. And I want to thank you for your prayers, your personal concern for our ministry, your support and help, and in many ways, your interest, vital interest in our ministry. And we're just happy that we can be here tonight. It's a real privilege, and it's a joy to my heart. And I'm just glad that I can be counted on your team, because after all, we are a team, and the name of the game is soul winning. And if you would permit me to make this a paradox, I'd say that it's about the fourth quarter, brother, and they have just signaled the last 2-minute warning, and time has been consumed, and the scrimmage is all but about over, and we don't have that much time. I, for one, certainly believe that the time is short, and the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amen. And what we must do as far as evangelizing and reaching souls for Christ and preaching the gospel and bringing the chiefs in, it's now, because curtain time will be coming in pretty soon. So let's then do what we ought to do. There's only one thing we really, really should do, and that is to hasten and give it all we have with God's help before the final whistle blows, or rather the final trump sounds. Let's keep in mind that that should be our goal. And thinking about Paul, we must consider that he did have a righteous life to contend. He was a man full of good works and everything else, but his major endeavor was soul winning. He was an excellent preacher, of course. He was a fervent man of prayer. He was a staunch defender of the faith. And we thank God for Paul and his epistles that are in the Bible for the forming of the church and for the guidance of the church and for encouragement even to us as preachers and to the child of God in general. And certainly Paul was all of these. He was zealous for the church. And we can see in many ways his sacrificial living, but his one big worry about above everything was the souls of men. And oh, that we would have that zeal, and we would have that concern. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 16, he says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And that was his major concern, preaching the gospel to save others. In verse 20, he says how he would go about unto the Jew. "I became a Jew that I might gain or win the Jews, to them that are under the law." And then in verse 21 or verse 22, to the weak became I as weak that I may gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And that should be our heart's desire. That should be our goal, dear Christian folks in Christ. Our obsession should be soul winning. Our obsession should be an ardent compassion for the lost. Our goal should be to proclaim Christ to all creatures. Our heart's desire should be to comply to our Lord's great commandment. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian." And how I thank God for you folks, for this church particularly, and how I rejoice in your accomplishments. And I would, every church has a caption, the going church with a green light and things like that. I would say that this church is the little church with a big heart. A big heart for missions. Because that's where the throb of the heart of God is, in missions. Because missions spells out souls of man. And that should be our main concern. And I thank God for this little church in the sense of numbers. And we're no bigger than you are in numbers, so I'm not I'm not trying to be inappropriate here, but I do want to emphasize the big heart that you have for missions. And I believe your heart is right where God wants it to be. Amen. And let's worry about it changing color or size. Let it continue to go bigger until it kills us if it need be. But it'll kill us doing something worthwhile. Yes. In God's program of world evangelization, He has chosen some selected men to further His cause. And in a sense, the pastors and those particular selected men of God are certainly to be the key persons for all missionary endeavors in the church. And certainly, Brother Kincaid is a key man in world evangelization. And you are to be commended for your good pastor. And I'm glad he's not here at the moment for me to say that. I know he wouldn't allow me to say that. But you and I know he's a man after God's heart. And his ardent desire is to win the lost by all means, everywhere. And I thank God for the pastor of this church. He certainly has done a tremendous job. But the best leadership, of course, cannot accomplish its goals and plans if it were not for faithful backers. And this congregation has done a superb job of following God's leadership through its pastor, and both are highly to be commended. At least I say that with all sincerity in my heart. And I thank God for you, for this church, for your pastor, for your workers. And then you're to be highly commended for not only giving the amount that by the grace of God you've been able to give for the cause of missions, but besides giving your money, you have liberally given of your people also to take the gospel to other lands. And we always pray for Rossi and for for Billy and in Brazil, Sylvia, forgive me. I do that in my church, and just Friday, there was one of our church members, and she hadn't been there for about 3 weeks, and I said, "My, it's good to see you, Miss." Oh man, that was an embarrassing moment. All my life, she's been in church, and just because she missed three services, I guess she thought I was doing it on purpose. And maybe I should have done it on purpose. She shouldn't have been away three weeks. That's dangerous. At least with my memory. But we do pray for your people, and we commend you for their steadfastness and their valor and their decisiveness to go forth regardless, willingly paying the price in order that we might accomplish that the Lord has commanded to the church. Go into all the world. Oh, may God give us more churches like this one. And we thank God for others that are striving and are trying also to do the job, but in a special way. And because Brother Kincaid has always been a special person to me personally, I always have this church in my heart, and I thank God for it. As for our work here in San Antonio, well, we're still fighting the good battle, of course. And we thank God for all the blessings and opportunities we have. And what a tremendous opportunity we have. If ever there was a mission field, as far as I'm concerned, directly with my person, is this vast mission field of over 400,000 Mexican or Spanish-speaking people. And certainly, we have a burden for our people. And you pray, and I know you do, and continue to support us in your prayer as we endeavor to reach many more of our people. Isn't that easy? Our hearts were broken last Sunday as I preached in the morning and at night concerning the testimony of the Bible concerning the Virgin Mary. and how our hearts bleed for our people as they blindly are being led to worship something that just doesn't exist. But oh, the devil, how he successfully blinds the eyes of the people. And oh, you confront them with the truth, and immediately you have an ardent enemy, an arch enemy. And it's just a hard battle, but I'm glad that we're on the winning side anyway. Yes, sir. I remember the one time I was preaching, and I just said that behind every idol is a demon, according to the Bible and its original translation. And even if you would happen to kneel down before a crucifix with a figure of a Christ, you're adoring a demon. And boy, a lady jumped about 3 feet high and ran like crazy, hollering all down the street. That man said Christ was a devil. That man said Christ was a devil. Yes, sir. And we have to contend with that. But oh, may God keep us faithful to preach the gospel in its pure sense, and for us not to back up or make exceptions. Right. And it just breaks our hearts how our people by the millions follow after the idolatry of Mary. But then we're in there fighting the battle, and we won't win them all, but we're winning some.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yes. And we're going on our 14th anniversary there on Surrey and Buffalo. And God's been good to us. We are at the moment contemplating a piece of property not very far from us. And Brother Kincaid would know the place probably close to the intersection of Pleasanton and South Flores. And there's an ideal place there. We're praying maybe the Lord would have us to be there where we can expand and be more centrally located, and maybe the Lord could use it for His glory. So I just ask you to pray as we contemplate that, and our men will get together on making a decision. But God's being good to us anyway. And if we wouldn't have nothing more but the shade of a tree to worship the Lord and win souls, we still have the responsibility of preaching the gospel and winning the lost. Yes, we also thank God for our faith missionary program. And of course, our $5,500 a year mission offerings are not to compare with yours. But even if it's a little drop in the bucket, I'm glad for our people in their economical condition doing a little something for preaching the gospel. And of course, we count it a blessing to have some of our men also going out to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. And even my own brother is now pastor of a fundamental church in Houston. And there was no fundamentalist church in that big metropolis. And I thank God for the privilege of just having my youngest brother over there preaching the gospel. And he's doing just good. The Lord's blessing him. And we have another fella, Armando, in Bible school. And then we have another one of our men with six children. And of course, one is married now as he finished school. But just the same, he took off for Bible school and he's doing deputation work. And if it's not in January next month, he'll be by the beginning of summer, and he'll be on the field all along the Rio Grande Valley from the both Laredos on down south. And we thank God for this other one of our men from our church.
Amen.
So again, I thank God because the Lord's seen fit to use the ministry of our church to prepare the people and to go out. And oh, may God give us many more. I guess that's where we're hurting, or the churches are hurting. We're preaching the gospel. Certainly we might be winning souls, but we might not be sending forth those that need to be sent forth. Oh, how we need to hear the request of our Lord. Pray ye for laborers, because the field is white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And again, among the blessings in our Mexican work, and since you're, of course, interested in all phases of the Lord's work, and especially since you're interested in our ministry, we're just happy to say that we also have a Bible school, and not from our church, but I mean, we're collaborating with another of our independent churches, and we do have a Bible Institute. I'm a teacher in it, and we pray that the Lord will give us workers from there to go forth. And also, I have the privilege of being a board member to one of the missionary from Frontier Baptist Missions based in the Valley. And through that, we have been able also to orientate them as far as Latin customs and things like that. And maybe in that sense, the Lord has put me in this mission board. And every time there's a problem, of course, and they are many, our brother, the president of the board, calls me. We go to the valley or go across and try to help out with the mission work there. So I count it a blessing to be able to do this. And of course, we have a fellowship of Mexican independent fundamental Baptist churches, of which I am now the president for the last 2 years. And we'll be celebrating our 25th anniversary next February. And we thank God for the fellowship of our churches and for their love for the Lord and their defense of the gospel and their willingness to stand by the stuff and preach the gospel and win souls. Just last week, I was in California encouraging and confirming and helping out with two of the churches we have over there, one in Southgate and one in La Puente, California. And we thank God for it. We have one of our projects, standing projects now, is helping build a church building for our mission we have in Coatzacoalcos, Veracruz, where we have one of our girls that was graduated from our Bible school. And we thank God for that opportunity to minister in different parts of Mexico. We have a new mission work in Monterrey, Mexico, so doing wonderfully. And now buying property, their own selves are buying the property to build the church. And we're just trying to help the missionary there, trying to do the job. So God's been so good with us, and he has helped us in so many ways. We could just not start to count all the blessings that he has given us. And we thank you for your personal concern and for your personal prayers for us. And now let me bring you a few. I just came from Kingsville, so I haven't had much time to go over some of the notes I have, and I'm just gonna give a few thoughts of one of these notes I have here. With me, I want you to take into consideration some of the things that the Lord would be pleased for us to take note. And I would name this, what I'm going to say. Let's just say that the missions are in crisis, and missions have been in crisis all the time. Now, what puts missions in crisis? What is the real problem? And of course, we could right off say, well, this might be the principal problem or that or the other. Certainly, nationalism is one big obstacle and one big problem. The different cultures to where the missionaries go, and how I admire Billy and his wife, and of course, Sylvia and Rossi, as they try to confront a different people altogether with a different culture, different ways, and yet they're willing. And of course, that's one big problem there. And of course, they do the best they can, and God helps them. And we thank God for them being willing to put up with so many things that are totally new to their life. But nationalism is has always been a problem. Catholicism, no telling about that. What about communism? Ethnic cultures. And so many things. Of course, these are real problems. But then again, I believe that there's something that we could spell out is a bigger problem than these things. These are big enough problems, but there are other things that we must take note of. Now remember that there are over 4 billion people in the world today. Remember that the Lord, He saw the multitude and He had compassion on them. And we ought to ask the Lord to give us some of that compassion. As I was driving over here, the expressway are just filled with cars filled with people. They're all going. They have their destination. Maybe they're going Christmas shopping. But in essence, spiritually, their souls, where are they going? They're rushing mad and about. But where are they really going? So I went to California a week ago, as I said, as we were climbing up on the plane, I could see that vast Los Angeles area, just 11 million people. And you can think of the more than that over there in Mexico City. No telling over there in Brasilia and how those great metropolises are just filled to the brim with people. You can just stand paralyzed and have that feeling of just not being able to cope with the multitudes. And yet we must move. Don't just stand there. Do something. There's that voice within that says, don't stand just there. Do something. You say, well, but it's such a vast multitude. I wouldn't even scratch the surface. Well, it's better to scratch the surface than just to see the multitudes go to hell. And the Lord saw the multitude and his heart was broken with compassion. And how we ought to ask the Lord to give us that compassion. And certainly we'll never feel the compassion to the fullest sense as the Lord Jesus Christ felt it. But oh, that we could feel some of that compassion. That's the lack of this compassion is the reason for the coldness, the lukewarmness in the members of our churches. That's why the churches are stagnated. That's why we don't go forth. That's why we don't accomplish much. That's why we don't have a vision. That's why we don't have a desire. That's why we don't give sacrificially. That's why we don't get involved. That's why we don't feel like we ought to go. Why? For lack of compassion. Oh, may God give us some of that compassion. Here in San Antonio, there are hundreds of churches in one city. And yet look at the mission field. And on the mission field, there are hundreds of miles with not even one church. Oh, what a contrast. What a comparison. What an awesome reality. And certainly, someone said, why should we hear the gospel twice when there's so many that haven't even heard it once? And yet people are so complacent. They like to come to church. And it's good. And we better come to church. But when you just come to church to be bench warmer and don't get involved, we're going to have to answer for that. Oh, it's for our own good that we pray that the Lord saturate us with some of that compassion for the lost. People abound by the millions and over 4 billion people in the world. And the majority, there's no shepherd for them because laborers are few. The crisis has always been the same. Lack of manpower. That's why missions are in crisis. And that crisis has always been thus because even the Lord Jesus, in his time, said, pray unto the Lord, because the field is wide and open, but there's so few workers. Pray, pray. In Spanish, we have a word that's translated that is better than pray. It says, ruega, rogar, al Señor. Beseech the Lord, pray with the agony in your soul, that from our churches, there come forth those that will be willing to go. Because if our churches do not produce those that are willing, then there will be no winning. And we need to pray because one of the main crises in missions is the lack of manpower. Less than 1% of Christians go to the mission field. You mean out of every 100 Christians, just one? Statistics say so. Surely out of 100 people, at least if not half, quarter of them, at least 10% would be a decent quota. But where do we find churches with 100 members that 10% of them say, Lord, I'm willing to go. Maybe 90 of them cannot go, and they might have their reasons, and you might excuse their reasons. But I believe the Lord will not accept excuses of at least 10% of our congregations. And I'm not for quota setting, and I have no authority to say it, but certainly it's a shame that out of 100 Christians, only one has the vision. Only one has the ear tuned to the calling of God. And that's to the shame of our churches. Oh, may we pray. May we beseech the Lord that our congregations might be moved with compassion, and that their eyes might open, and that they have a vision of the lost in the world. Maybe there's too much to give up. We're going to have to give it up anyway. And it will be sooner than we think. Time is so short. Maybe some young men, some young ladies say, well, I really have, all my life, I had this plan. I wanted to go to college. I really want to get my degree in this or that. And after that, maybe if I still feel a calling, I might go. I don't think we have time to finish college. I believe time is spent already, forespent. And it's a matter of just a little while. And he that is coming will come. Will come. So, oh, how it hurts that less than 1% of the Christians go to the mission field. And out of that 1%, how many come back? Why? Again, lack of prayer. We're comfortably here tonight. We'll go to our homes, to the comfort of our homes tonight. I don't know about the comfort of the missionaries over there. I don't know what battle they're striving in. I don't know what things the devil might bring up against them and their families. I don't know what they all are going through at this moment. Yet, our minds maybe would be furthest from them. They need constant upholding with our prayers. Oh, missions are in crisis because of the lack not only of manpower, but of prayer power. So, there are people in the pulpit and on the pews that ought to be in the mission field. And why not? And why not? Surely, the Lord is calling. So what should we do? Again, pray. What will prayer accomplish? Well, pray them out of the pews. Pray them out of the pulpit. Pray them out of the schools. Pray them out of the houses. Pray them out. Pray. Pray. Because the labors are few. Pray. If everyone that is saying that he's willing, if everyone that is saying I'm willing, and if they would go, then the laborers wouldn't be. But because we don't have that many that would say, I'm willing, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Because not many are answering. The crisis persists. The laborers are free. Then, of course, I say, the solution is prayer. Many times on our Wednesday evening prayer services, and I know you pray here, we've stressed them and pray about 5 or 10 minutes. You don't call them prayer meetings. All the churches are work. They have their devotional, their seminar, all in about 35 minutes. And the last 5 minutes of the prayer, then from there on, for the next hour, is choir practice. Choir practice is more important than prayer, preaching, and everything. Oh, God has mercy on our way. And may we open our eyes when they reach the asphalt before they can shop. Wednesday night, we ask for requests. And we say, well, anybody has a request, and certainly we ought to pray one for another. The Bible says. But what I'm trying to stress is, if we're asking for requests on prayer night, how about praying for the Lord's praying request? The Lord has a request. You say, anybody has a request? Seems like the Lord says, church, I have one. What is it, Lord? Pray for laborers on the field. And that should be our first and prime concern. Amen. In our prayer meeting. Remember, the Lord's prayer request. You know why many don't pray the prayer request? Because they're afraid. And because also they do not pray because they need to give themselves first. Many don't give themselves first. So why then should they pray? Lord, send some wine when them themselves are not willing to go, the Lord would come. And then may I add quickly another reason of why there's crisis in mission is because the lack of money power.
we would be as liberal with the work of God as we are with our own selves and those we love, we would be that liberal, then there would be a solution to mission work. For persons who are faith, this is especially true among our Mexican people. This is true with my father when he, before he was converted, before the Lord called him, and I'm glad that not only my youngest brother is a preacher, my father is also an ordained minister, and he's there helping me there at the church. But at the age of 37, before that, I would hardly see him. We would hardly see him as a family. He'd go to work, he'd stop at the cantina at the corner until about 10:30, 11 o'clock every night. He'd come to sleep, he would go at 6 o'clock to the job, to the work. He would come straight to the cantina at the corner. And we'd hardly see him. Years after. I'm glad for the power of the gospel that can transform a man like that. I thank God for the faithfulness of my father to the Lord. But then, when they were in the world, well, it was nothing to leave half the check, paycheck, there at the corner bar. But many of them get converted. They're so stingy. You ask them for a $10 contribution for a special need, and they all day talk in that church about money, money, money. You ought to baptize them again and make sure their wallet is in the pocket. Baptize them both. So we need to remember that we need to subsidize the work. God will do it through the money that He gives us. We ought to share it, that the gospel might go on. And yet, of course, as we say that, we are not to deprive the nationals of the privilege of supporting themselves. We as missionaries should show them how to start being responsible and not only building themselves up, but they themselves sending their own national people to their own people as missionaries and even going beyond. So we can have manpower and money power crisis and prayer power crisis. Oh, most essential of all, what creates even a greater crisis is the lack of God's mighty power on our personal lives. And I believe it's a great step when a missionary is already out there in the field, willing, has answered the call, has gone to Bible school, is ready and willing, and there he is. Oh, if he doesn't have the power of God in his life, he'll be spinning his wheels. And the devil will have a field day any time he feels like. Oh, we need to pray for our missionaries. They have all kinds of problems, but they too are humans like you and me. They have their downs and outs because they're in the flesh. Even if the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And how we need to pray for them, but how they need to exert discipline on their life and make sure that the mighty power of God is on their life. If not, they might be over there in the mission field, but they're just using a space, not really filling a gap. We need to pray for the missionaries. We need to pray for them. For us Christians, we need to pray for all of us included. We all need the power of God. Here at home or abroad, we need the power of God. It doesn't matter how much we accomplish. It doesn't matter how much we build. It doesn't matter how much we give. If it's done in the flesh, it'll never accomplish nothing. So we need to be careful about that. So then, let's not be the cause of the problems. Let's be the solution to that. Let's help in the crisis of faith, because we don't have that much time, folks, to work. So God help us as we renew our strengths, as we kind of stand back during this mission conference and look with perspective to the opportunities, new opportunities that the Lord is opening up to us in this new year, whether God will let us complete it or not, whether the trumpet will sound before the year is out, let us, just the same, kind of renew our strength, just assert our goals, and then let's give it all we have, because the whistle will blow in a minute. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this church, for its members, and particularly for him, for its pastor, Brother Kinkley. Bless him, use him today, wherever you have assigned him to be at this hour, and as he travels back home, keep him in company with his wife and those that are traveling with him. Bless the men of this church. May they continue to back thy servant. Bless each one of the members. May they strive to do thy will. And Lord, help us to be a blessing. And help us to be a solution in the crisis, the ever-present crisis of missions. We thank you, Lord, for the support that this church has had in order to be part of this solution. Continue to bless them and keep them in that blessed place of service. Lord, keep them ever busy, winning the souls at home and abroad, and give us more churches like this, even our own church. Help it, oh Lord, to grow to this stature. So bless us now, and bless Sylvia, and Rossi, and Bill, and Cindy, and bless those also that are preparing to go to the field. And Lord, we beseech you, somehow move in our congregation, that others might answer the call, for the need is great, and the hour is short, and we need to be among the master's business before it's all over. Help us now. Bless this service. Bless this conference to its end and its goals. Bless them, Lord. And thank you for the privilege tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.